Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Jason Mackey's First 10 Quick Hit Podcast to get you ready for the day. Today is Tuesday, July 9th. We saw the Pirates salvage a split with the Mets. They won 8-2 behind eight splendid innings from Mitch Keller. We're going to talk about that, a couple different Pirates topics. Cam Sutton also became an important Steelers discussion point. He was suspended for 8 games. Did they make a mistake? Not sure. We'll weigh in on that. Also, want to talk a little bit more about my one-on-one with Mike Sullivan. Before that, though, I want to remind you that we're sponsored by the North Shore Tavern. You don't have to be a baseball fan to love it there. The interior is wall-to-wall Pirates, and their appetizers, entrees, cocktails, and, of course, steak and seafood on a sizzling lava stone. Open every day, the North Shore Tavern across from PNC Park is Pittsburgh's home for steak on a stone. All right, so yesterday, let's set the stage a little bit. Very important homestand for the Pirates. They had dropped 2 of 3 to the Cardinals, had dropped 2 of 3 to the Mets. This whole thing could go one of two ways, or could go one way or the other, something like that. But this was a very pivotal game for the Pirates, I would argue. They needed to have that one. And well, the guy who should have been an all-star, and I understand why he wasn't, I do. Team in the Pirates situation, it's kind of tough for them to get 3 all-stars. Can't argue against Brian Reynolds. I certainly understand Major League Baseball's case for having Paul Skeens. The odd man out then becomes Mitch Keller. And that's a shame because had a rough first month, figured it out, was absolutely dominant right up until his last start. So maybe that's recency bias. I don't know. But if you look at what he's done this first half, he should be there. After what he did yesterday winning the game, he's now second in Major League Baseball and wins with 10. ERA 3.40. It's very good. Has just been so important for this team. And in a very important moment against the Mets, had one of his best performances of the season. No walks, 6 strikeouts, career high 79 strikes among his 107 pitches. Just absolutely what they needed. I was reflecting a little bit yesterday just about how much I've seen from Mitch. And this actually came from seeing some pictures of him on social media. I'm like, man, Mitch looks all grown up. And I remember back in the day when, 2019, he makes his MLB debut in Cincinnati. That was actually my first road trip on the beat. And, somebody was probably overwhelmed by the situation. And the situation was pretty large yesterday. Mitch Keller was not overwhelmed in the least by it. It was very impressive to see what he gave the Pirates. It'll be interesting to see if Mitch Keller somehow sneaks into the All-Star game, if there's somebody that can't make it. He's probably going to pitch one more time, so I don't know if he would pitch, but it certainly is an honor to be included, and he deserves to be on that stage. A couple other takeaways from yesterday, which I thought was a very important game. Joshua Palacios homered. Just want to talk a little bit about him. I'm going to write a column on that later today. The Pirates and every other Major League Baseball team, they do so much to quantify things and attach a number to everything. And no matter how hard they try, you can't do it with what Joshua Palacios brings. It's fun. It's seeing somebody, I told Josh this after the game, that it's refreshing just to see somebody who has so much joy in what they do. You can tell that he's just having a great time, does not care, what any perception might be. And the Pirates, frankly, could use that. He's such a breath of fresh air with all of the negativity that tends to surround them and people wanting to see them do well and them kind of underperforming so far. It's nice to just see somebody who's happy. And that's Joshua Palacios' personality. Dude's never had a bad day. He's a pretty good ball player and has had some solid at-bats. Want to talk a little bit about Rowdy Tellez, too, ever since May 31st. And, Xander Brown, and we've talked about his uptick, and that's great. His defense yesterday really shined, and it has created a fun storyline, too, because he beats out an infield hit. He has a stolen base this season, made a couple diving plays. I've long thought this, and I've told Rowdy this, and we go back and forth jokingly, but he's a much better defensive first baseman than the people give him credit for. Like, no, he's not going to win a gold glove, and no, he's not, super fleet of foot as much as we might, make jokes about him stealing a base. But, like, dead serious, he can move around enough, and if it's hit anywhere close, does a very good job of handling it. And I think he showed that off in some important situations yesterday. It'd be interesting to see what the Pirates do pitching-wise today. That's an important storyline with the team. In Milwaukee, you're going to get Martin Perez tomorrow and Paul Skeens on Thursday. But what do you get in the meantime? Well, it's not going to be Luis Ortiz. He's not fresh. Not going to be Marco Gonzalez. He's not fresh. Marco Gonzalez last pitched on July 6th. My money, probably either Quinn Priester or a bullpen game. Priester would make the most sense. His last outing came July 2nd went five innings, gave up one earned run, no walks, six strikeouts. If everything checks out physically, that would make the most sense. We don't quite know. We'll see. Last point is just O'Neill Cruz. I wrote about his home run and wanting to see him in the home run derby. I don't think it would happen, but it would sure be a sight to see. And you can read a little bit more at post-gazette.com about that. My thoughts there, some thoughts from around the Pirates clubhouse. Going to get into some Steeler stuff and the Sullivan stuff as well. But first, I want to take a short break. The message from our friends at Bradenton Area Convention and Visitors Bureau.
Embrace the laid-back charm of island life while sinking your toes in the sand and discovering real, authentic Florida in the Bradenton area. Unspoiled beauty and pristine beaches. A vibrant waterfront downtown energized by local arts and culture. Fresh Floridian cuisine with a flourish of rich history. And friendly locals ready to welcome you to this preserved paradise on Florida's Gulf Coast. Plan your visit today at BradentonGulfIslands.com.
All right, welcome back to First 10. Steelers-wise, it was an interesting day, wasn't it? Normally a very quiet period. It was not, most certainly not, with Cam Sutton suspension. Eight games. I did not expect that. I don't know about any of you. I expected, one, him to appeal, and Sutton did not, so it's going to be eight games. Number two, I thought, you know, two, four, maybe six, knocked down to four. I'm not sure. Didn't expect eight. And trying to figure out what I think it all means. I don't know if anybody has a great answer for that. You've by now read the story about Cam Sutton. I wrote a column on it during OTAs saying, I hope that the Steelers did their due diligence. That still remains. Initially, there was a felony charge. It was knocked down to a misdemeanor for domestic violence or domestic battery for by strangulation. I don't want to make sure I get that correct. That was the initial third degree felony charge. Again, it was knocked down. That was also the stuff that came out was in a criminal complaint. It was not necessarily anything that he was convicted of. Anyway, he entered a pretrial diversion program April 8th, not allowed to have weapons or firearms and a bunch of stuff attached to that. In any case, you had a very serious thing, knocked down to a less serious thing. Steelers signed him because they have a relationship with him. Mike Tomlin talked at OTAs about believing in the character of the person, this, that, and the other. The eight-game suspension that is not going to be appealed would seem to err on the other side. I don't know. But regardless of whether, you know, you agree, disagree, think this was handled poorly, think it was handled well, I don't know. Kind of puts a pinch on the Steelers' defensive back situation. Not that that, you know, supersedes domestic violence, misdemeanor, any of that stuff. I'm just saying that leave that to legal authorities. If you talk about it from a football aspect, Cam Sutton was going to be an important part of their secondary. Now he's not. And what do you do? Not quite sure. Not sure if they have a great answer. Maybe it becomes Patrick Peterson. Takes my brain back to Beanie Bishop. Some of the stuff we saw from West Virginia product in rookie camp. Is he somebody? Josiah Scott's been a name. Grayland Arnold. I don't feel great about any of those guys, at least compared to Cam Sutton. Like when they brought Cam Sutton in from a football perspective, it made a ton of sense. This was the point of my original column. The only problem is, you know, the off-field stuff. How serious was it? How legitimate was any of that stuff? And I don't know. You don't know. We hope legal authorities know. We hope the right decision is made there. Certainly, I'm just saying strip that away. And from a football perspective, it made a decent amount of sense. All right. The Sullivan thing I wanted to get into was relative to the goalie talk. I felt like I kind of glossed over that yesterday, but think back to the end of last regular season and how much Mike Sullivan was riding Alex Nedeljkovic. And yeah, you know, for good reason. Ned was playing outstanding. But I think there's a misconception is not the right word, misperception or whatever. We all kind of ran with the storyline that Tristan Jarry was like no longer Mike Sullivan's guy. And I think we need to sort of adjust that thinking. And another thing that came out of the interview with Mike was sort of a tacit admission, maybe it's not so tacit, that Tristan wasn't happy about all that. I think he played the part of good soldier late in the season. So this is the direct quote from Sullivan. Was Tristan pleased with those decisions to go with Ned down the stretch? Of course not. He's a competitive player. He wants to be in the net. I'd be concerned if he didn't want that. And it takes me to this. It's good that he's upset. I agree with Sullivan. I hope he has a lot to prove. I hope a lot of Penguins players feel like they have a lot to prove. I hope Erik Karlsson is upset at how he played last year. I hope Tristan Jarry is upset at how he played last year. To me, along with the youth talk, which I think we got into a little bit more yesterday about wanting to infuse youth and speed into the lineup, they need guys with access to grind. That's great. If Tristan Jarry was hacked off and feels like he's got to reclaim his crease, do it, man. That's great. So it's an interesting line for Sullivan. Sullivan went on to back Tristan Jarry, as I would fully expect him to do. But also just talked a little bit about the need for several goaltenders. I said at one point in the interview, so like, you know, you're going to need both guys, huh? He goes, I would argue we need three, you know, and maybe that's creating a place for Joel Blomqvist. I'm not sure. I think Joel Blomqvist is going to have a spot anyway. But they just, you know, it's an interesting dynamic. A lot of moving parts where, like, Alex Nedeljkovic is clearly happy with his role here. That's great. You're going to try to elevate a young guy. Tristan Jarry is going to try to reclaim what he has. It's going to be a fantastic concoction to see how that all comes together. We're going to keep talking more hockey. I'm actually heading up to Cranberry as soon as I finish recording this for a little bit more development camp. We'll be there the next 2 days, and we'll be talking more pucks from up there. Anyway, thank you for watching. Make sure you like and subscribe. You can get this video on all of our other content on the North Shore Drive from other Post-Gazette writers and columnists. And we'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. Thanks for watching, everybody.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post-Gazette Sports. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all of the sports coverage the Post-Gazette has to offer, visit post-gazette.com.